Jay Pizzy, Mosier on the beat. Look at my team, ay. Look at the ring, whoa. See what I mean, ay. You see what I mean? Look at my team, look at the ring, everything. This is a dream, all but a dream. This ain't a dream, I am a fiend for the cream, go. DTC and I beat these teams and it make me feel alright.
Alright.
DTC and I beat these teams and it make me feel alright.
Alright.
See, I calculate. Yeah, y'all just palpitate. Whoa, if you don't calculate, get it? Get it? Calculate. Lady Justice is illustrious. I just love this. I can put this in this function and it turns up into something. And that something came from nothing. And I sold it for a button. Now I got this lovely lump sum. Guess I'll burn these bumps like buzzing, bro.
Welcome to the Dynasty Trade Calculator Podcast, a show dedicated to Dynasty fantasy football trades and player values, with your hosts, John Paul Hurley and Izzy Elkafoss.
This ain't a dream, I am a fiend.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the DTC Podcast. This is episode number 195. I'm your host, John Paul Hurley, on Twitter, at FFHercules. Joining me this week, my producer, just kidding, I was going to try to make him nervous because I saw him walking away. Well, if you want to follow him on Twitter, it's John Mosier. There he is, peeking his head in. On Twitter, at DTC underscore John Mosier, the best producer in the market. Joining me this week, my co-host, Izzy Elkafoss, the Pharaoh Fantasy.
Wait, is he on the market?
Yeah, I think he's on Dynasty Tinder right now.
Damn.
He's swiping right to everything.
Damn. Ass swipes?
Moist ass swipes, or are they just dry? Do you think he's a dry ass wiper?
How do you feel about the word moist?
I'm fine with it. I think it gets a negative pub for no reason.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, stop being silly.
I agree.
That's too bad we both agree.
Figured I'd ask, you know?
Yeah. What's another uncomfortable word that people think is uncomfortable?
Good question.
Is moist the only one?
There's got to be more. I'm going to tweet this out.
There you go.
While we talk, and we'll come back around to it.
There you go. There is actually not a ton to talk about this week, considering most trade deadlines and leagues that have trade deadlines have passed, because it's the official beginning of the 2020 fantasy football playoff season. That's pretty exciting for most of my teams. For a few others, I'm completely checking out, and it kind of feels good, Izzy. Are you, you've got a couple teams where you, like, punted, so to speak, right?
Yes, I attempted, out of the 15 Dynasty Leagues, I attempted to punt in 6 of them.
I punted in 3 out of 9. We have the same percentage there, right? No, not quite. Close, though.
Yeah, I'm a little over 36% or something like that.
Yeah, pretty close, though. Well, we do have one or two topics prepared for the podcast. Let's get it. The one that we wanted to talk about, this was a tweet sent out 4 days ago by Izzy Elkafoss. Follow him on Twitter, at DTC underscore Izzy E. I thought this is a pretty compelling tweet. In fact, instead of me setting it up and doing like a hack job at it, I'm going to let you set it up and read your tweet to the listeners, and we're going to have a discussion.
Which one? Because there's 3 of them that I tweeted out. The initial one?
Start from the top.
So all I said was, reply here if you made the playoffs with Christian McCaffrey on your roster all year. Also include your playoff seed. Then let us know after the playoffs if you win the title. So I'll come back to this later. Curious to see what percent win the title with his return. So it's kind of like a future one. I'm just curious. But I did get 311 comments. So it's a lot. I mean, I've 311 replies of people that had Christian McCaffrey and still made the playoffs.
Wow.
Which led me to a follow-up tweet where I asked, poll for McCaffrey owners. Did you make the playoffs? ? If you own him in multiple dynasty leagues, vote for your most successful outcome. And then in parentheses, I put made playoffs without Mike Davis. So you essentially made the playoffs losing Christian McCaffrey and didn't have Mike Davis as his handcuff to replace the production. The results, there was 176 votes. So I feel confident that the only people that were voting there were actually McCaffrey owners, because that was a pretty low vote total, 176. Mm-hmm. 24% said they missed the playoffs. 28% said they made the playoffs with Mike Davis. 48% said they made the playoffs without Mike Davis.
Wow.
So what is that? 76% made the playoffs, regardless of whether they had Mike Davis or not. And let's say most people that, let's say that number comes down and it's more like 66%, let's say 2/3, because I think a lot of, maybe not a lot, but some owners might go by this poll and be like kind of frustrated, or like have some little sense of shame, be like, oh, I'm not going to vote for that. Like they just skim through this and see it and they don't even vote. Whereas like, if you made the playoffs without Christian McCaffrey, you're going to be like proud to put your vote in. You know, it's kind of like this weird mental thing that some people have. So let's say it's 2/3, which is a pretty big number, which led me to say, okay, well, if 2/3, is this actually true? Because if 2/3 are saying that they made the playoffs, I want to know, based on my 15 league sample size, if that is a true barometer or not. And thankfully, my leagues is 15. So if 10 out of 15, that is exactly 2/3, which is probably about where I view this poll result as truly lying. So I went through and I looked at my 15 dynasty leagues. 11 out of the 15, Hurley, made the playoffs without Christian McCaffrey.
That's weird.
4 of them got the bye.
And how many of yours had Mike Davis?
3 out of 11 that made the playoffs had Mike Davis. And then 1 out of 11 that made the playoffs got the bye. So 3 out of the 4 that had a bye without Christian McCaffrey, only 1 out of those 4 had Mike Davis.
Okay.
2 out of the 4 that missed the playoffs also had Mike Davis. So the 4 remaining teams that didn't make the playoffs, 2 out of the 4 had Mike Davis.
So, and it's also safe to assume that all 11 leagues that you had Christian McCaffrey were probably contending. So it's not like one of them was punting.
I didn't look that far into it. I just looked at, Here's the sample size. And
You could safely assume, unless you acquired McCaffrey at some point after he was hurt. Yeah.
Right. And I just wrote, this might change my process moving forward. Sell anyone at top value? ? Maybe. So that's kind of the conversation. Well, I went through very quickly before the pod just to see Saquon. And I didn't really look into, you know, like who their backups were or anything like that. If they had Wayne Gallman, I didn't do any of that. But 7 out of the 15 made the playoffs without Saquon. Interestingly enough, 0 of those teams got a bye.
Now, so this is something we talked about before the podcast that could kind of like throw a curveball or like a variable in some of your research, but are you positive that the teams you've looked at didn't acquire Saquon Barkley post-injury?
Not positive. I did not, like I said, I skimmed through this as we were getting ready to record the pod because it was just this, my sample was Christian McCaffrey, which is probably true. There was a lot of transactions involving Saquon Barkley and he could have switched hands throughout the course of the season.
Yeah,
absolutely possible. Which is surprising with the Christian McCaffrey because you'd think it would be the same scenario. I guess Christian McCaffrey wasn't out for the season.
Yeah, he's week to week like the whole season basically.
Yeah, true.
That was the biggest problem with McCaffrey. And that was the biggest positive with Mike Davis is that Mike Davis was relatively effective when he was starting.
Yeah.
But McCaffrey just strung you along, so you couldn't easily bail out on him without thinking you were going to lose production when he comes back, you know?
True. And, you know, it's funny about the Christian McCaffrey. Out of those 15 teams, I have him in 2 leagues, but one of the teams made the playoffs. The other one of my teams actually missed the playoffs, and I think I only missed the playoffs because I also had Nick Chubb, Dalvin Cook. So Nick Chubb was out, and Christian McCaffrey was out. I also lost Cortland Sutton. I lost George Kittle as well. So I lost a lot of my studs. I lost my, you know, basically my, oh, and I had Michael Thomas. So I lost Michael Thomas for most of the season. I lost Cortland Sutton for the entire season. I lost George Kittle for basically most of the season. I lost Nick Chubb for a big portion of it. And I lost Christian McCaffrey. So like I missed the playoffs by 3 fantasy points, which is even crazier. So, and this is the team that I ran the table with last season. So, like, I was undefeated. I ran the table, and I was like, okay, I'm going to win again this season. And then I just got decimated, and I almost snuck in. But,
wow.
So, I would say, like, that is a team that if I would have just had Michael Thomas or had Cortland Sutton or had one other player healthy, I would have made the playoffs even with Christian McCaffrey, which would have brought the number to 12. So I didn't look at the context of the other three to look at their team and if their team got absolutely decimated or if it was like one main McCaffrey injury. But regardless, it didn't seem like McCaffrey, like McCaffrey owners really needed McCaffrey this season, which leads me to say, like, well, if one player doesn't necessarily make the difference, would it make sense to take a Christian McCaffrey and break him down for several players and kind of spread that equity around a little bit?
Yeah, especially for a season like this where depth was king.
Yeah. What do you think?
Well, and we actually had an example of, so like by the time that the, and this is actually a pretty good study because I would assume that a lot of the teams that had Christian McCaffrey that made the playoffs, like you said, they were probably prone to trade him before the playoffs, before the trade deadline. So like if you're in a league with a trade deadline and the trade deadline is the first round of the playoffs, I would imagine that Christian McCaffrey probably changed hands quite a bit. And we actually had an example of one of those trades in a league that we're in, the DTC Championship League, that we can cover really quickly.
Oh, yeah.
It's a guy that was, he's kind of on the, it's a team that's probably got one last year of competing, one more year. So he wanted to make one last stab at it. He felt this was his best shot. So he moved Christian McCaffrey and received Michael Thomas, Jarvis Landry, and Melvin Gordon. He ended up losing in the first round by a handful of points. So I guess it didn't help him in the first round of the playoffs. But like a trade like that, would you maybe condone something like that? Or would you be looking to maybe get some different pieces?
I think he got, I feel like that's a pretty good return.
Yeah.
For Christian McCaffrey. It was Michael Thomas, Jarvis Landry, and who was the other one? I forgot.
Melvin Gordon.
Melvin Gordon. Like, I get it. Like, those pieces, there isn't, like, any... Michael Thomas is the core of that deal, right? And Landry and Melvin Gordon are kind of, like, unsexy pieces. But that league that you're referencing is a 14-team point-per-carry league. So... quarter point per carry. So McCaffrey
and three,
does
three wide receivers start. So the wide receivers actually carry plenty of value too, because you have to start three.
Yeah, all positions do, because you have two extra teams. So you have now.
Yeah, but I'm saying like wide receivers get pretty thin with a mandatory three in the lineup for 14 teams. You
so
know?
Do running backs though. So on
those
the flip
are.
Side.
I mean, that's only two though. But yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I mean, you're basically looking at four additional running backs for the two extra teams going from 12 to 14, and six additional wide receivers. To be honest with you, it's a lot easier to find receivers that you can plug in than running backs you can plug in my opinion. So I look at this and say, yeah, McCaffrey goes up a little bit in that bump, but I don't hate that deal for a playoff team just because it's like, well, maybe next year you can kind of sell Melvin Gordon for something, a piece. You can break down Landry for a second, maybe. You should be able to get a second for Landry. And then Michael Thomas, you can decide what you want to do with him as well, assuming that he has a good playoff run. I don't know if I do it if I'm a McCaffrey owner, but I understand if somebody does.
Yeah, I thought it was an even trade, relatively even.
I look at that deal and it's like, if I'm trading McCaffrey, I don't want Michael Thomas in return. Like, I'm going to go get other pieces. Now, I look at this and say, he went after players that are kind of losing steam. So, hypothetically speaking, maybe 4 months ago, he probably couldn't have got that deal done. Getting Melvin Gordon going over to the Broncos, having Jarvis Landry coming off a pretty good stretch run at the end of the season, and then having Michael Thomas, who's, was a top five startup pick and had one of the most historic wide receiver seasons. Yeah. So he's technically, even though he's selling McCaffrey low, he's buying low on everything else as well.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true.
So, yeah, and it didn't work out for him. I wonder
close.
If he's...
It was a shot. He shot his shot.
I wonder if he'd still make the deal right now. Like, would he? I don't know.
Oh, after knowing you're out of the playoffs?
Yeah, would he? Like,
does he
look at it and be like, hey, I got a pretty good haul? I don't know.
I would doubt that he would do it still.
Gotcha.
Because this was the main intention was to advance in the playoffs, and he didn't.
And that's another thing, too. Like, looking at this team, the teams that he's going up against, like let's say this works and he advances to the next round, like the two teams, like technically the three teams that are ahead of him, like they're significantly better fantasy teams. Like, you go looking at...
You look
at Dan's team. You look at my team. You look at Travis's team. Like, those teams are significantly better than that team.
Yeah, maybe. He's made it to the Super Bowl two seasons in a row, so...
Yeah, this season he's really
struggled. Yeah, cuz he had Saquon McCaffrey to start the year. And I think he had Mahomes at one point.
No, he traded Mahomes and got McCaffrey, I think.
Okay.
Or he got Barkley in a deal.
Yeah, that's great.
So, yeah, he kind of had a tough season from the get-go. I mean, his running backs, he's got Mike Davis, Melvin Gordon, Darrell Henderson. Oh, he has James Robinson as well. His receivers are, before this, there were Mike Evans, Keenan, and Marvin Jones. And then at tight end, his tight end one was Rob Gronkowski, and his quarterbacks were Tom Brady and Phillip Rivers, or Tom Brady and Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah, not the most explosive.
Yeah, and in a 14-team league, that's usually pretty good. But when you look at the other teams and their starting lineups in a point per carry league, it's like... And being the quarterback difference between the teams is significant. Like, one of the teams has Mahomes and Lamar. I mean, the advantage that you're getting over Brady and Tannehill on a week-to-week basis with the points per carry perspective is significant. So, you know, and then in my team in a points per carry league is Chubb, Derrick Henry, Josh Jacobs, and I'm missing somebody else. But it's like, I'm getting such a huge advantage every week over his running backs.
Yeah, all the volume. Yeah, so, but we digress. Bringing it full circle, it's a relatively even trade to make if you're trying to make the playoffs. And I think that's kind of what you're talking about when you're considering moving something at top value. But you would probably shoot for something a little bit different, like somebody who's ascending. You'd want to have inside the trade, which makes sense.
Yeah, ideally. Yeah. Ideally, yeah. I mean... I'm not a guy that's going to, I made a lot of like tertiary, like I tried going after like random players and just saying, okay, like I would go after like a JD McKissick with what's his nuts out with Gibson out. I would go after like a JD McKissick and try to get those 10 points and be like, hey, if I really need like a flex play, McKissick could get me 10 to 20 points. And that's what I'm going to go after. But like, I don't want to go after like a Melvin Gordon, and Michael Thomas is fine, but I don't want to be stuck with Michael Thomas. I'd rather go after, like you said, an ascending player, but I don't know. Like, there isn't an ascending player that players would want to get rid of anyway. So I'd probably just hold tight and try to go after those mid-level players. Like, go after a Tim Patrick. Tim Patrick's a perfect example. He's a receiver that I know won't cost me lick, but I can get 10 to 20 points out of him.
Yeah. It's not incredibly common to have a handcuff like Mike Davis. And that was the right play in hindsight. And like, people could have called, you know, the writing was on the wall in this case, but that was the right play for McCaffrey owners, was to find a way to acquire Mike Davis for cheap, especially if somebody holds Mike Davis that is not a playoff team. I'll give you a quick example. We're in a league together called the Nerds Calculator League. So it's an industry league where it's all DTC. For six of the players and all Dynasty Nerds for the other six. We all compete against each other. And I hold Mike Davis, and this is one of my three teams that I'm rebuilding, retooling, and I got a lot of great youth pieces. And the team that has Christian McCaffrey would have fallen under the scenario that you called out in your Twitter poll, where he made the playoffs with McCaffrey but does not have Mike Davis. Going into the playoffs, I tried to give him Mike Davis, and I was selling at a pretty good discount. I think the final offer that after we whittled everything down was I was going to give him Mike Davis and a fourth for a third. And both the fourth and the third were 2021, and they're probably like mid to late. They're both playoff teams. So I thought I was giving him incredible value. Plus, I had some incentive to giving him that because he's going against the team that I own his first round pick. So I wanted him to beat him. So I'm giving him like the best possible deal I can. He countered with like a fourth. I didn't like that. I feel like this league has no trade deadline, so I can probably get more than a fourth for Mike Davis out of a different team potentially. But maybe my gamble will not pay off. But I just wanted to call that one out because it was kind of a fun example of, and by the way, it doesn't look like that team will advance, and Mike Davis would have made the difference, it looks like. They both have one player left. The score is tied, and Mike Davis would have made the difference because he was forced to start Daryl Henderson.
Yeah, that's a deal. Even a guy like me who's not a go after, I wouldn't trade a second or a first to try to win a championship, but I would be comfortable trading thirds. I'd have no issue trading thirds and fourths. So if I can get a Mike Davis and I can get a third, I'll do it. Yeah. Or sorry, if I can give up a third and get Mike Davis, I'm doing it. But yeah. I wouldn't give up a second for Mike Davis to do it.
No, yeah. And I was willing to settle for a third knowing that I don't need him. Like he's useless on my team, but I don't, like, a fourth doesn't really do anything for me. I've got enough picks where that fourth wouldn't probably make my roster cut anyway, so.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought that was an interesting scenario. But yeah, now that this week ends, I'm going to hit up the remaining four teams or three teams, whatever it is, whoever's left, four teams, and see if I can get a third.
Yeah. Yeah, you can try it. I mean, another example of this that a trade went down that we've been following on Twitter, because this is a big thing, is a lot of people make like a win now trade. And this is kind of the conversation I've had. Like, very rarely does one individual player make the difference. If you look at most of your matchups, they rarely come down to 5-6 points, which is typically the amount of points you get when you make a win now trade. At most, you're probably getting a 10-point difference from who you're starting, and that would be like a huge gap.
Yeah.
So let's say it's 6 points. How many of your matchups throughout the season came down to 6 points? Not many.
Very few.
So like, and that is just going on average, right? So you might have a week where you have your player that you get, he might score 12 or 15 extra points. But the same token, you might have a matchup where the player that you traded away scores more points.
Mm-hmm.
Similar to what you're talking about, you started three guys that actually scored, and two of them, or one of them wasn't even playing, and they outscored the players that you were going to play. So it's very feasible for somebody to make, what was it, a T.Y. Hilton versus a... What was your other option?
Kiki QT.
Oh, yeah. I could easily have seen a T.Y. Hilton for a QT trade saying, okay, well, oh shit, the entire Houston Texans team is out. I'm going to trade T.Y. Hilton, who's
30
years old. And who knows, like, he's kind of been hot and cold. He's been hot lately, but the first 9 weeks of the season, he was trash. Or first 11 weeks of the season, he was trash. So I'm going to trade T.Y. Hilton for QT and try to take advantage of the volume. And then T.Y. Hilton outscores more points.
That's a perfect example.
So it's like the case at hand was an individual traded Keenan Allen, or excuse me, traded CeeDee Lamb 4 weeks ago or 5 weeks ago for Keenan Allen. And through the first 4 weeks, and he has a bye week, so he had a bye week, the first 4 weeks of this trade before this week, the Keenan Allen trade made no difference to his win or loss.
Because CeeDee was going off.
No, he wasn't going off, but he was winning big, and if you take Keenan Allen and replace him with CeeDee Lamb, it wouldn't have mattered. Still won by a lot. And the game that he lost, it wouldn't have mattered if it was CeeDee Lamb or Keenan Allen. So, and now he's got a bye. So this trade was a win now trade, and he's now, and it didn't help him get the bye. He would have got the bye regardless of the trade. And now we find out next week if Keenan Allen makes a difference. And mind you, Keenan Allen just got hurt in this last game. So let's say he doesn't play, which would be like, would that be irony? Would you qualify that as irony?
No.
Where you trade for Keenan Allen to win now and then he gets hurt and doesn't play when you need him?
No. Maybe like if he was on a streak of like 500 consecutive starts or something and he's never been injured, that would be irony if he was injured.
But
the next
hold
game.
On, hold on, hold on. I know this is kind of a throwback from a few weeks ago when we were talking about the Alanis Morissette.
Here we go, this irony crap again.
Alanis Morissette song. But you're trying to tell me that if you make a win now trade for a player and he goes and gets hurt when you need him, that's not ironic?
There's a little bit of irony in there.
Okay,
There's a little bit of irony in there.
I will take it. I will take
the way you the way that you phrased it. The second way that you phrased it, there's a little bit of irony because you kind of brought it together.
Okay. All right. Good. I'm good with that because I would have had an issue if you said that's still not ironic.
There's some irony in there.
Okay. Cool. So who knows what happens? But see, I don't like a deal like that, and that was kind of like the conversation I was having on Twitter because one player to me doesn't make a difference, and you see constant trades where people are trading a pick. A second or a first or they're trading a young player for an older player just for the win now, when in most cases, I rarely see like a win now trade actually make the difference.
Yeah, because it's that one player or two players just can't make a big dent.
Yeah, you'd have to be like making three or four deals, like big deals that are actually like revamping a part of your roster.
Yeah.
And I just don't see people doing that. They just do like the one-offs that doesn't do anything. It sounds good.
I agree with that.
Sounds good. Just doesn't work.
And it's funny that we actually kind of did that a little bit ourselves in our scout league. And it's a high stakes league, so things are a little bit different. But we, going into the final week of the regular season, we were on the playoff bubble. We've been scoring points, but we were one of those Christian McCaffrey teams, you know, and we've just been really missing his points. We have Kamara also, and it was nice to have that 1-2 punch. But lacking McCaffrey caused us to score fewer points, and we were right on that bubble. And we ended up moving Henry Ruggs, who we drafted in the rookie draft at the beginning of the season, to acquire Adam Thielen to try to make a big push at the very last week to make sure we got in. And I think they ended up scoring about the same amount of points because, if you remember, Henry Ruggs had that last touchdown, last-second touchdown catch. And I think they ended up having about the same amount of points. It was kind of funny that it worked out that way. But now it remains to be seen how it works out the rest of the playoffs.
Yeah. That trade kind of falls in, like, if it was CeeDee Lamb, I wouldn't trade CeeDee Lamb for Michael Thomas.
No. Yeah, no.
Right? But I'm okay trading Henry Ruggs for Adam Thielen.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a franchise-altering move. It very well could be. Let's say Henry Ruggs comes out next year and is absolute gangbusters.
And Thielen retires, yeah.
And Thielen, like, just... Thielen's Thielen. He's good, but he's not, like, a young stud. That'll hurt. But based on the information that we know now, I'm okay trading, you know, Ruggs for Thielen.
Yeah.
You know, I'm okay with that because it's not like a franchise-altering move.
Yeah, and the production has been there. I think that Thielen is going to be more beneficial. And by the way, the up-to-date story is that we ended up making the playoffs, again, regardless of the trade. But I do think that Thielen is going to be a little bit more helpful for us over the course of the next couple of weeks for the playoffs. But it could be wrong.
Yeah. I just, you know, if it's one of the, even for a guy like Thielen, I'm cool if I can get like a, I view Ruggs as a second-round value.
Yeah.
So... And Thielen to me is definitely high second round, late first round value. Like he's a top 7 point scorer this season. And he's still, you know, got a few years of production. Like I think I wouldn't say first. I would never give up first for him, but I'm okay giving up a second for Thielen. Like so when I'm saying I wouldn't give up a second for players, I'm viewing that as like a Mike Davis who's literally just a playoff rental.
Yeah.
But like if I can get a Thielen for a second, or even a Keenan for a second, which wouldn't happen, but if that's possible, like if it could happen, I would do that. That's where I feel like, yeah, it's worth it. But yeah, so there's some context there.
Yeah, and I agree. I think I like that. That was a good trade for both teams because the guy getting Ruggs obviously is you know, playing for next year now. So it was great.
Yeah.
But anyway, kind of bringing things all the way back. The point of the discussion was to basically like, is trading, especially a running back at his peak value, the right choice. And I think it's probably going to be situational. In McCaffrey's sake, it probably could be a yes. But let's say Jonathan Taylor continues to blow up the rest of the season and throughout the course of the offseason, he becomes the running back one in Dynasty. Maybe not in his case because he's like 21 and, you know.
Why not, though? We had just talked about one player rarely makes a difference, right? It's the sum of all parts.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you could get a ton of return for him.
Yeah. So if one player doesn't make the difference between a playoff run, I mean, it's one player definitely has more impact when you're talking about a full 13 game season versus a one game sample. So I will say that they're not the exact same thing. But based on this exercise, Christian McCaffrey was the top running back scorer last year and is absolutely dynamite on a week-to-week basis. If his teams, essentially, like my team would have been a play, so let's say 12 out of 15, essentially. If 12 out of 15, basically 75% of the leagues that I sampled, now, of course, it's not like 100 games, 100 team sample size, but based on the Twitter, we had 176 people vote and 76% of them made it without McCaffrey. Is it really worth holding on to McCaffrey when he was worth two or three firsts, just firsts, when we're talking, and we could be saying, you know, player X plus, like a Derrick Henry plus or an Aaron Jones plus, right? If you can get that Christian McCaffrey replacement production, maybe not the full amount, but 80% of it, and you can get another piece on top of it, that's when you start saying, well, now I'm making an actual difference across my team. Like, so now I'm saying I'm adding two pieces or three pieces that are going to score me more points on a consistent basis over time. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I need to do more research on this.
No, I think you're right. I have a perfect example of what you're talking about too. So way back on September 24th, this is yours and my original home league. I drafted Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and my team is not ready to compete this year. I'm still kind of rebuilding it. This is one of the three also. It's kind of funny that most of the conversations are centered around the three rebuilding teams that I've got, but I'm sitting on Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the first week of the regular season. He kind of blows up 120 yards and a touchdown. This league awards a 5-point bonus for 100 yards rushing. So he had like a 25-point game, and it was looking like spades for him, you know? Like he was he's the guy, and he was kind of ascending. And I think when did Saquon get injured? Was it week one?
Yeah, I thought it was week one. That was the first game.
Saquon's down.
Maybe week two. Maybe he played 1 week and then he got hurt in week two.
Maybe. And the trade actually, it was executed in week two anyway, so it makes sense. So it was September 24th. I think Saquon got hurt before that. So Saquon's down. Clyde is ascending. McCaffrey's probably still the running back one, but I think Clyde was probably, you know, making a push towards the top. Zeke had been falling off.
No, Zeke hadn't fallen off. So when this trade was made, if you're talking about it being week two, Clyde was probably a sixth running back off the board, I'm guessing. So yeah, Barkley got hurt in week two.
Okay, so this was after Barkley. But I think Clyde Edwards-Helaire, while he wasn't the running back one, he was probably kind of ascending that way. And I think this trade was made under the assumption that he was going to continue to ascend and make it close to that point at least. And I moved him because I was offered a trade I couldn't refuse. It was you probably remember
this.
Yes,
I do.
Cortland Sutton, George Kittle, and three firsts.
Stupid. Now, in a league like that, there's more consolidation to be had. Or to be done, right? So
yeah, it's 10 teams.
10 teams. So I'm okay consolidating, but we're still starting 10 players in that league.
Yeah, that's a lot of starters.
So it's still a lot of starters.
And we're adding Superflex in 2021.
Yeah, so I mean, and I get it, those picks might have been late first, but still, I mean, it's a ridiculous overpay. And this is...
No, the 2021, two of them are 2021. One of them was... definitely a top three favorite team, so late first. The other one was definitely like a potential candidate for the 101. Ended up being the 102.
Okay.
And the 2022 pick is going to be late. So yeah, it was two late picks and definitely like a one or two.
Yeah. And what's funny about that, it's this individual also had Christian McCaffrey.
Who he got from me. Yeah. I think. Right? No, he got Kamara from me.
He got Kamara from you. Yeah. So he had Christian McCaffrey, Clyde. He lost them both, and he had the top seed. He had a bye.
Yep.
So like for his team, he looked in and said, I have a really deep team, I have a really strong team. And really there's only a few of us that are strong contenders in that league. So he's like, okay, well, if I'm comparing my team to Izzy's team or Habashi's team or whatever, like if I just add X piece, that would put me as easily the best team. And he's right. If with Sutton going down and Kittle, I think getting hurt in that game as well, like he got hurt. And he's saying, well, if I can add Clyde and Clyde is Clyde and I have McCaffrey and Kamara and I got three of the top five running backs in Dynasty.
Yeah.
Like I'm winning. And that's how he looked at it.
Yeah. He's stacked elsewhere too. So, and he could afford Kittle because he had Andrews at the time.
Yeah.
He could afford Sutton because Sutton was probably like his wide receiver three, maybe, because he's got Tyreek
Tyreek and somebody else. Somebody else. That's
Deontay Johnson, who I know you have pretty high. Calvin Ridley, Adam Thielen, Jerry Jeudy. So pretty loaded at wide receiver.
Yep. Yeah, so he was in a situation where he could have done that. And at the time, Clyde was, like you said, he coming off that big week, and it's like, oh, man, like he's it. This is it. This is going to be the next great thing. And it's like, okay, well, this is the price to pay.
Yeah.
And it just didn't work out.
No, and it could. It still could.
I'd be surprised if, based on the three firsts and the Sutton and Kittle, I just don't know how. At the time it happened, I even told you, I texted him like, wow, that's a bit
that's
heavy.
A
yeah, that's a bit heavy. So at the time it was still like an overpay, but that's the price you have to pay in a lot of cases for these top end guys, which is why I hate doing it.
Yeah.
Especially when they're rookies. Like, it's just not my thing. But
yep. But I mean, that again, that just it proves your point though. Like, maybe when a running back is either at top value or ascending towards top value, it might not be a terrible idea to consider selling him. I also sold Jonathan Taylor for Saquon Barkley straight up after week two. That's working out really nicely. So I agree. Maybe you're right. Maybe you're onto something here.
Yeah. So, yeah. I don't know. I definitely think this is something to consider, but I need to do more. Like, this is just a one individual sample size.
Yep.
It's a right. good sample size because we're taking the best running back off of a team and the 101 in Dynasty, removing him basically for the entire season
yep.
and looking to see how successful teams are. And they've right. been successful without him.
Yep. I think that's pretty good. That's a well-rounded topic. I think we can probably cover a couple of polls really quick before we sign off for the week.
Yeah, let's do the polls that real quick. Should we wait for the most what word makes you uncomfortable? Should we wait on that to the after the polls?
We'll do it at the very end before we sign off. Yep.
Okay.
So for those that are just tuning in to our podcast for the very first time, we like to do a couple of poll recaps. It's kind of like a social experiment, basically, where we are testing out how people feel about relative value for certain players. And we've been tweeting out the same exact series of polls week to week throughout the course of the season. And we've been revisiting them on our podcast to find out like how much value has changed from week to week based on performance. And it has been very interesting, and the difference in value has been significant. So with that, Izzy, go ahead and shoot out some polls.
Yeah, so we got to wait on the... dude, by the way, the Steelers one is going to be really interesting because Deontay got benched.
Benched?
He got four targets, basically got four targets, I think, in the first drive, and dropped two balls of those four, and he got benched.
Oh, no.
And he's had, I think he has 10 drops on the season. So drops have been an issue for him, maybe 12. So drops have been an issue for him. I believe he had three last week. So he might be getting in his own head, but he got benched. So the volume was coming. It's just he can't hold on to the ball right now. So
he needs to be a running back.
So the poll is going to be very interesting tomorrow. Can't wait. And I'm kind of bummed because Tattooed
is your guy.
Yeah, he's smooth as eggs. Like he gets open so easily, and he's so good after the catch. He just can't catch. So the first poll is our tried and true, what started this whole series of polls with rookies, was Clyde versus Taylor. Now, over the course of the season, it's kind of bounced back and forth between Clyde and Taylor based on Lev Bell signing, based on Taylor getting benched, based on Taylor's fumbles, based on the three-headed monster in Indy, so on and so forth. So we've seen some bouncing back and forth. After week 12, 53% had Clyde and 47% had Taylor. So I'll just go back since the last time Clyde had a lead, which is week 12. Last week, Taylor took off because he had that big game. So he had 66% of the votes last week to Clyde's 34.
And Clyde Hart, I don't even think Clyde really played.
Yeah, he didn't play. Clyde kind of burned fantasy owners because he was active but didn't play.
He was active but didn't play, yeah.
So I don't think Clyde, I wonder what would have happened if he actually would have played any amount of minutes, but he didn't, or any amount of snaps. Week 14, what do you think it is, Hurley? Only 170 votes. I just started this about an hour and a half ago.
88, 12.
Close. 86-14.
Oh, my God.
In favor of Taylor.
And it's justified.
Yep. And, yeah, at one point, so what's crazy about this? Week 10, after week 10, this was on November 15th, so less than 1 month ago, Clyde was 74%.
Jeez. Wouldn't it have been funny if you were like watching these polls during the whole season and you kept trading, like you trade Clyde away to get JT and change, and then when they flipped, you trade JT to get Clyde back and change, and then you just kept doing it?
Yeah, that'd actually be really funny. If it was possible, that'd be hysterical to see how we'll much change you actually got.
Yeah, we'll have to try to do that in a league next year for rookies or something.
That'd be hilarious.
Just as a study.
That would be hilarious.
Very interesting.
The other one that I put up was our quarterback poll. Burrow, Herbert, and Tua started this poll back in October. So basically 2 months ago, October 20th. So Burrow was ahead of Herbert by 1% before he went down for the season. After he went down for the season, Herbert took a 77% to 18% lead over Burrow. And then Tua was at 5% because he got benched as well. So that was the week that Herbert had a solid game, and then Burrow and Tua each either A, got hurt and got benched. And then Tua lost his job to Fitzpatrick, and he was down to 3%. Burrow climbed a little bit to 25% to Herbert 72. Then last week, Herbert didn't really have a big game, and Burrow actually climbed to 34%. Tua actually had a little bit of a revival, went up to 9%. Herbert went down to 57%. This week, we are at 146 votes after an hour and a half. So a little early, but what? Oh, actually 228 votes. What do you have? What do you think it is?
Tua looked good, and he had like over 300 yards and three total touchdowns. Very nice game, very nice outing. I think he probably earned some confidence in some of his skeptics' eyes. So I'm going to say Tua went from 9 to probably like 15. And I'm going to say most of his votes came from Burrow's pocket. I'm going to put Burrow down to 30. That puts us up to 45. Herbert went down just a little bit. Because I think Herbert had a good game, but not like statistically amazing for fantasy purposes. So I'm going to go 55 Herbert, 30 Burrow, 15 Tua.
Okay. So now we're up to 228 votes. I was doing a quick refresh to see if we can get more. But you were pretty much spot on this one. So Herbert is at 54%. Burrow is at 32%. And Tua is at 14%. So you're right. Tua did take from Herbert Burrow's pocket, but he actually took only 2% from Burrow's pocket. And he took 3% from Herbert's.
Wow. Interesting.
And to be honest with you, Herbert's looked a little shaky the last couple of games. Like, not as
and Tua,
studly
Tua's
as he
got
did.
Like, Tua's over 600 yards passing and like four or five total touchdowns in the last two games combined, right? Like, he's looked good.
Yeah, the thing is with Tua, which is weird, is like, I don't know if he's ever going to be like a deep ball guy. He's got he doesn't have a very strong arm based on what I've seen.
It's touch. Yeah, it's all touch.
Well, it's like I
and he's got great touch, by the way.
Yeah, yeah, but he doesn't have zip, so I'm interested to see, which I'm surprised with because I thought he'd have more than he's showing. So,
I mean, we haven't seen it. I mean, I don't think he's been in a position where he's had to do it yet. I'd be curious to see. I agree with you. I haven't seen it yet, but I'd be curious if he tries it to see what it looks like.
Yeah, he threw a pick on a kind of like a. He just floated one up. There was no rope on it.
That was a drop pass. That wasn't even his fault on the pick.
Yeah. That's true.
He was right in his hands.
But it wasn't, he didn't lead Jakeem. Like, Jakeem is just one of the fastest players in the league.
Yeah.
He didn't lead Jakeem. Jakeem had to come back and try to catch it.
That's true. But I mean, it was completely catchable. But as far as the pass is concerned, you're absolutely right.
Yeah. So, yeah. Real quick for there's a couple good ones. I'll give you that. There's a couple good ones in here for the words.
Oh, yes. Here we go.
So we said moist. Jeremy McNipples was one of them. that is what you used to call Jeremy McNichols when he was
relevant.
That's
true. Somebody went deep on that one.
So that is, which is, which I believe it actually made them uncomfortable because they were able to recall that, because the last time you actually said the name Jeremy McNipples is probably a year.
2 years. You got to give him a shout out on the podcast because that's an impressive deep reach.
That's our homie, Matthew Betts, the fantasy PT.
Nicely done, Matthew Betts. That's an impressive callback.
Yeah. So, yeah. somebody said the C word. Couldn't spell it out.
I was going to say that. Like, I wasn't going to actually say that, but I was going to suggest that word as one of the... I would say that's probably one of the most foul words in our language. I don't know if it's a cringe-worthy word.
Yes. I will tell you the oddest one. We got a mother-in-law. So somebody saying mother-in-law makes them uncomfortable, which isn't necessarily cringe-worthy, but I get it if you're being kind of... when my wife says Michael instead of Mike, that makes them cringe or uncomfortable. So I guess that's possible. I think it's kind of soft. John Bosch said, good morning when I am by my supervisor, but that's a phrase. So he's right on that. Somebody said Segway. Our boy Shane Swager. And I said, what? With a question mark and an exclamation point, because like, seems a little odd. He's like, I cringe when people tell me about the amazing Segway they just had.
Oh, as far as the word or the vehicular device?
No, the word, Segway.
Okay. Okay, interesting. I went a different direction in my mind with that one.
Yeah, so it's kind of funny. The other two good ones, yeast and squirt.
Oh, yeah. I could see. Yeast is not bad.
Yeast is because I when somebody says yeast, I automatically think of infection. Yeast infection.
Yeah.
So I
how about like taint? I mean, all of these are going like very sexual.
Yes. Yeah. That one is. I'll give you that one. Little odd. What is it?
Blue waffles.
Waffles?
Blue waffles. Oh my God. Are you telling me you've never heard of blue waffles?
I've never heard the term blue waffles before.
Oh my God. You are in for a treat, my friend. It'll be the most uncomfortable word you can ever imagine.
I've never heard it before. So, I mean...
Can we just do this really quick?
Yeah.
Do you have the ability to Google something on your phone really quick?
Yeah.
Okay, because our listeners deserve to hear this happen, because this is something from like 10 years ago. And I am shocked that you did not become exposed to this.
How have I've been your friend. I mean, we talk every day. How have you not told me about a blue waffle?
I'm sure that I have. You've probably forgotten it. Maybe like chose to forget it. You threw it away in a deep part of your memory. Google blue waffles on your phone and do images, and we want to hear what your reaction is live on the podcast.
You want me to look at images of a blue waffle?
Yep, blue waffles. It has to be plural. So Google image search blue waffles, and we're going to listen to your reaction.
So all I'm seeing right now when I Google blue waffles is a picture of blue waffles. There's a Kellogg's blue waffle. I'm not seeing...
Do you have parental settings on your phone?
No. I see a turkey with like a blue thing coming out of it, which is not... That's not good. Let me just... Okay, blue waffle. According to urban legend, blue waffle makes parts of your vulva turn blue. Blue waffle isn't real, and neither are blue genitals. But why am I reading that? I shouldn't be reading this, right? Or can I read this?
Probably not. I'm surprised. Maybe Google has cleaned up. Yeah.
Some people noticed.
All of the graphic images are gone.
So it says blue waffle is the STD real. So it's an STD.
Yeah, it's gone. Google has scrubbed clean of blue waffles images. That's sad.
Really? Well, it's not.
It was really graphically bad.
Really? Oh, okay. Wow. I will take your word for it. Sounds not good, but it doesn't sound bad either.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, that was that's pretty good. That's a good way to end it. I think we're gonna have to try to find a way for you to be able to look at these.
Yeah, you're gonna have to find it.
Yeah, that's all we got for you guys this week. Make sure you tune in next week. We're going to try to cover your dynasty and fantasy football needs throughout the course of the fantasy playoffs, if possible. So make sure you check us out. Visit the website, dynastytradecalculator.com. If you're one of the leagues that still has a trade deadline opened throughout the course of the playoffs, make sure you use our league import feature, our trade wire. We've got a lot of cool features in the calculator. So check all that out. dynastytradecalculator.com is you have one last
No, somebody said stank, and it made me laugh because I laughed.
Stink, stank, stunk.
Just stank. Like it. It was one of the words, but yeah, it's funny.
That's all we got. This show hopefully didn't stank. We'll talk to you guys next week. Bye.